I just want to share briefly with you tonight. Pastor Joel wandered in during the week and he was just overflowing with an excitement. He was saying, I've just been looking into the kingdom of God. Where are you, Joel? Can't find you. Yeah, there he is. There he is. No, other Joel. Got too many Joels. No. Thank you, Jesus, for all our Joels. Joel Power. Hallelujah. He walked in and he was saying, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I began to think about the kingdom of God and what it is that God is really wanting to release, the revelation that he's wanting to release on the earth. And we're so grateful for the revelation of his goodness and his kindness. I wanted to share with you tonight, if you'll go with me, to Romans. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. God says that when we come into his kingdom, we enter by faith. If you look in the book of Romans, is all about having faith in the promise of God. It's by grace we are saved through faith. Hallelujah. Not of works, lest any man should boast. This righteousness that we receive from God. And actually, I'm going to start with Ephesians just because it's good. My husband started there, Ephesians 4, so we might just go there. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles, you just have to keep up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read here, verse 24. Put on your new nature, created to be truly like God, truly righteous and holy. Hallelujah. That's from the New Living Translation there. It's good stuff. Put on the new nature. And I was looking at this word, you know, I used to struggle with the idea, okay, yeah, I'm putting off the old man and I'm putting on the new man and trying to die to the flesh and walk in the spirit, and struggled with it so regularly, thinking, oh God, I don't feel like I'm doing a very good job walking in the spirit, and I know there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but I had this idea that I was in and out of Christ, depending on how well I was performing or behaving. But you know, the revelation of the scripture is that those who are in Christ Jesus, when we become born again, when we receive Christ by faith, we become new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, you know, if you've been in my meetings for very long, you'll know that that word in there in the Greek is en, which means positioned at rest. For those who are positioned at rest in the position that God has given us, which is we are seated with him in heavenly places, there's no condemnation for you when you are positioned at rest in Christ. We enter the rest of faith. We deliberately sink in and put on his righteousness like a garment, is a better way to look at it. If you look into the Greek, we put on the righteousness of God and we rest into it. Those who are in Christ Jesus can be at rest in the nature that he gives us. Hallelujah. But religion tells us that you have to try hard, you have to work hard, and you have to measure yourself by your performance. But the good news of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law, to show us, hallelujah, that he, the perfect one, was the only one who could ever fulfill all righteousness. And then, in his enormous goodness, came and said, now, as I die, you are crucified with me. And he says, I'm making you a brand new person. Out of his side that was pierced, a new bride was created. Out of his death, we became the bride of Christ when we receive him as our Savior. And in him, we now have a new name. We now have a new nature. We heard that through the prophetic words that came through tonight. But this new nature is something that Paul keeps reminding us, you need to put it on. Now, does that mean that you put it on and then you take it off and you somehow lose it again? Because in our English translations, that's sort of the interpretation you could have. I put it on, but I don't know when I took it off, but it must have fallen off somehow. But actually, when you look at that word in the Greek, put on, what it means is sink into it like a garment. It's again got that word en in there, which means position yourself at rest in it. So what's happening here, if you have a look at the scripture in Ephesians 4, is not that we're coming in and out of the new nature of Christ, but the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to deceive you. The only real weapon the enemy can have against a believer is deception. And so he comes and he tries to deceive you and say, no, you're struggling with this, you've got this issue, you've got that, and he comes with condemnation that tries to define you. And God wants us to say, he wants us to have renewed minds. He wants us daily to be renewing our minds and recognizing, thank you, God, old things have passed away. It's not by my works, it's not by my performance that I am a new creation in Christ, but it is because of the goodness of Jesus Christ. I can now sit back and rest into the reality that I am not how the world defines me. I am not defined according to my sin or my failures, but I am defined as a child of the Most High God. Hallelujah. I am defined as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, resting into that place, seated at the right hand of the Father. Do you know that you've been crucified with him, raised up with him, and you're seated with him at the right hand of the Father? That's the most favored place in heaven. You're not just tolerated, maybe tolerated at a distance. You, right now, you are in the chair next to the Father. I loved what Dr. Reese had to say about that's our address. That's where we live, in heaven, at the right hand of the Father. Catherine, who sits at the right hand of the Father, that's not heresy. I'm in Jesus, and therefore that's my position. Hallelujah. And when I rest into that, awakening comes, revelation comes. Hallelujah. That's where true worship can flow from. We sang tonight, I worship you, Almighty God, there is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. I give you praise, for you are my righteousness. You see, the Father is looking for worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. That is, he's looking for people who will respond with genuine heart worship to revelation that the Spirit of God brings of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It evokes a response, and that response is what delights the heart of the Father. That's true worship. Oh, God. And so he daily wants to remind you. He wants to give you a gift. He daily speaks your language, and he wants to come alongside you and whisper to you, you're lovely. Because he wants to evoke in your heart revelation that allows you to open your heart and come into intimacy with him. You see, you won't approach him if you feel condemned, if you feel unworthy, if you feel like, I'm so ashamed. He wants to give you revelation that I've paid for your sin before you ever committed it. And if you will have faith in my righteousness, not in your performance, you are holy and pure. Song of Songs, the Passion Translation. Who's got it? Oh, you want to get it? Oh, we got to buy some more boxes. Make a note, Sarah Jane. Buy some more boxes of Song of Songs. It's so delicious. I'll read it to you just a little bit here from chapter 1. Dr. Brian Simmons has done a translation of the Song of Songs. He's a tremendous Hebrew scholar, amazing revivalist too. He's coming in March very soon. He's going to be so good. But he wrote, he really captures, I believe, the Hebrew dynamic of the Song of Songs. Let me just share this with you from chapter 1. Oops, where's my water gone? Can you just throw that up? Thank you. Song of Songs here. I'm reading from the Passion Translation, verse 5 of chapter 1. The Shulamite, the bride, says to her friends, the Jerusalem maidens, she says, Jerusalem maidens, I know I'm so unworthy, so in need. And the shepherd king says to her, yet you are so lovely. And then she says, I feel dark and dry as the desert tents of the wandering nomads. And the king looks at her and says, yet you are so lovely. You are like the fine linen curtains of the holy place. It's as though he completely ignores the fact that she's going on and saying, God, I know I'm so weak and I'm dark and I know I'm sinful. I know I haven't measured up. I'm so far from the mark. And he looks at you and says, you're so lovely. You're like the fine linen curtains in the holy place. That's like, you have to be utterly holy to be in the holy place. So it rocks your world when you really let the revelation impact you. And he wants to reveal it to you moment by moment so that you walk without shame. The Bible says those who look to him are radiant and their faces are never covered with shame. Why? Because he's looking back at you saying, you're so lovely. You're like the fine linen curtains. People get a bit scared though. If I really believed that, wouldn't it just make room for people just to go and be sinful? But the reality is, people are sinful anyway. And God's not afraid of freedom. He hasn't come to bind you up with laws and rules and controls. Colossians 3 makes it so clear. We can have rules that have the appearance of men's wisdom, but it will not prevent ungodliness. Only an unlocked heart that is responding to unfair kindness and revelation that I have power to walk in holiness. Only out of the revelation of that power will you ever truly live and display the glory of God. God is interested in righteousness. He wants to see righteousness displayed in the earth. He wants you to be a revelation of the righteousness of God. Why? Because he wants the world to see what he's like. But he gives you the power to be righteous. On Sundays, we've been going through a study, and I'm looking forward to getting into more of that, into the virtues of God and the fruits of the Spirit. But one of the fruits is self-control. And our words in English, self-control, if you look into the Greek word for self-control, is actually a combination of two words, positioned at rest and power. En and kratos, which means positioned at rest, dominion, might, power, vigor. And we translate it self-control. What it is actually, you have this power sitting in the chair to have dominion over any fleshly appetite, anything that would try to drag you away into unrighteousness. Let me give you revelation. You are seated with me and you are powerful. Hallelujah. It's good news. But if you look at it in English, it looks like hard work. Come on. The truth is, I'm to sit back in the chair. And out of this place, out of this revelation, I will behave. Joseph Prince says right believing leads to right behaving. Amen. And you know, I was a high school teacher a few moons ago. In the olden days. I actually taught up at Newmarket High School. It doesn't exist anymore. And I was a drama teacher, drama and music teacher. And I was taking year 10 drama. And I had a boy in my class. His name was Dean. And Dean was probably on the list of, if there was a list, of the next one to be expelled. I would sometimes come, he just gave every teacher just a terrible nightmare. He came from an awful background. His brother was in jail. I mean, I remember walking into class one day. I was so green and so naive. And he was climbing the glass louvers and was right up high. And I said, Dean, get down, you're going to fall. And the class kept saying to me, miss, miss, he's high. And I went, yeah, I know, he's going to fall. Dean, come on, get down, darling. And he'd been, you know, taking some drugs during the lunch hour. And this boy, I mean, nobody knew how to handle him. But he had an acting ability. And so I gave him the lead role in the class play. And you know what? From that moment on, Dean became the model student. He'd be in class, he'd be saying, shh, Miss is talking. Why? Because suddenly, for the first time, he had a new identity. He was no longer the troublemaker. He was the favored one. And out of that identity, he began to behave completely differently. God wants to reveal to you day by day your identity. You're not a troublemaker. You're not weak and ridiculous, sinful, pathetic, useless. That's the voice of the enemy who wants to crush you and destroy you. He hates you. He's scared of you. He's scared of the truth really becoming awakened in your heart. Because if you wake up and realize, actually, I'm in the chair. Ha ha. There is no lack of power other than the one that is in me. I am no longer me who lives, but Christ who lives in me, and it is powerful. He's desperately scared of that. So he comes in and he tries to smear you and say, look at that, look what you did. You're like this. And you go, you can point back to him and say, guess what? It doesn't matter. God knows all about it. And the truth is, I am a new creation in Christ. Hallelujah. And as we begin to lay hold of it and believe it, we'll begin to behave differently. You see, in the revelation of the righteousness of God, we become empowered to live as he speaks to us, as he calls us. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're so lovely. You're like the fine linen curtains in the holy place. Now listen to me. When God speaks to you, when he awakens you, the Bible says that morning by morning he awakens, his mercy awakens my soul. God wants to awaken your soul, not with, listen up, you've got to fix things, you've got to sort yourself out, I am not happy with you. That's not how he wakes you up. Let me tell you, I am not a morning person. And people need to be a little bit careful when they wake me up. But God, when he wakes us up, he doesn't say, get up, lazy bones. He comes in and he whispers, he says, oh, you're so lovely. He awakens us morning by morning with his mercy. The mercy of God awakens my soul. God wants to walk with you every day and give you a gift. He is so creative. He has a new way to reveal to you the mercy, the glory, the righteousness of God to you. Every day he has a new way to say, you're so lovely. You're like the fine linen curtains. He's got a new way of saying that every single day. He so desperately wants you to wake up to the mercy. Wake up to the mercy of God that you recognize, yes, I am not weak. I am not helpless, but in him I can do all things. That same verse there in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word through is N, positioned at rest. I can do all things positioned at rest. In the chair, in the place of righteousness, I am powerful. I dare you to believe it. If you're afraid of believing that in case you might, you know, live loosely, I dare you to try it, even for a week. For a week, just decide, I am not going to live with the heavy, guilty condemnation, the weighty feeling that, oh, I'm still not there, I'm not spiritual enough, I'm not making it. Look, if you've been living like that, I could probably tell you it hasn't worked yet. It hasn't kept you and made you more righteous. Guilt is not the way to holiness. Guilt is the way to heaviness. Mercy is the entryway to the holiness of God. Hallelujah. The mercy of God empowers us to live righteously. When he looked at the woman caught in adultery, he said, "Who condemns you?" She said, "Oh, no one, Lord." He said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." He gave her the power to go and sin no more by saying, "I don't condemn you." It doesn't mean that he was saying, "Go off and just sin, be sinful." He was saying, "Go and sin no more with the power that I give you. You have a new nature. I'm giving you mercy. And if you will respond to the mercy of God and receive it, you also will receive the new nature of Jesus Christ, which is utterly powerful and perfectly perfect." Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace, Jesus. Morning by morning, I pray for every person in this church that you would awaken their soul with your mercy. Oh God, that they'd wake up to revelation of your mercy moment by moment. Lord, that it would crack through every long-standing guilty fear in the name of Jesus Christ, that your perfect love would cast out all fear. All fear, oh God, let them come to a position of rest that grows more and more comfortable day by day. Father, I'm asking, Lord, that this place would be known by the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost, oh God. That we'd be known by the love of Christ as we are rooted and grounded in your love and established in the irresistible, glorious, unfair kindness of God. Father, I thank you for it. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation released tonight in the name of Jesus. Let it be established in your people's hearts, oh God. Hooray. Oh, this is such good material. The Bible is such good material. Let me tell you, it is so good. God wants to feed you. He wants to love on you. And he wants you to recognize that you are not little Christian, you know, a little piece that, you know, you're trying to make your way in the world, but you are as Christ is in this world.
Amen.
You know, God is wanting to empower his people with revelation. You know, we grow from glory to glory and strength to strength, but the way that we grow is simply by more revelation. Really? And testing out the wings. Woo-hoo, Jesus. Trusting in his mercy, trusting in his goodness. We're going to pray for some people in just a few minutes. But before I go any further, you know, the Holy Ghost wants to speak to people's hearts tonight. I know that he's whispering in your ear tonight. And you know, God gave us each one a free will in the hope that one day you would use that free will to respond to God and say, "Yes, Lord, I want to respond to your mercy. I want to receive you as my Savior. I want to receive your mercy." You see, he doesn't enforce it on you. He doesn't force it on you, but he says, "I've given it to you. If you will take it, you can come and you can be with me. If you'll just believe, if you'll just receive my forgiveness, my mercy." All it takes is for you to respond to the mercy of God.